is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
In our first story today, I'd like to talk about a strange little fish called Astyanax mexicanus, also known as the Mexican tetra. These fish are found in freshwater rivers and streams in eastern and central Mexico and up into Texas, places like that. Not all of these fish live above ground, though, and some isolated populations live in caves beneath the limestone mountains in northeast Mexico. It's a tricky place to live for a fish, as Nicholas Rohner explains.
The cave environment is entirely dark. There's no light, so no plants, no photosynthesis, and therefore, at least to our knowledge, there's literally zero food in these caves.
Despite the lack of food, tetra populations survive, although they've undergone some fairly extreme changes compared to their surface-dwelling relatives. These cavefish, as they're known, have no eyes and have developed lots of strategies to help them survive in the long periods between the seasonal floods that wash food into the caves.
What we found is that, first of all, that most of the cavefish populations that we looked at have an increased appetite. So they would eat much more than surface fish if you give them the opportunity to eat as much as they want. And that helps them to gain incredible amount of body fats. They have up to 10 times more body fat. They store their fat everywhere. You find them in the eye socket, you find it in the brain. They have a lot of visceral fat. And while the surface fish under a normal diet would not have these effects.
Another difference between the two groups is that the cavefish have wildly fluctuating blood glucose levels compared to the surface fish.
So they basically have much higher blood sugar levels compared to the surface fish after a meal and also after a day fast. And then their blood glucose control is also altered because they're not able to maintain this blood sugar level over a longer period of fast. So if you fast them longer, their blood sugar goes down and they're not able to maintain their blood sugar. So it seems like they have a generally dysregulated blood sugar homeostasis.
So what's going on? Generally speaking, blood sugar levels are regulated by the pancreas. After eating, when blood sugar levels are high, the pancreas releases the hormone insulin. Insulin binds with cells and leads to the uptake of the excess glucose, lowering blood sugar levels. In humans at least, a lot of this happens in the skeletal muscle. In this new work, Nicholas and his colleagues showed that for two cavefish populations with fluctuating blood sugar levels, insulin is being released, but it's impaired in its ability to bind to the skeletal muscle.
We found a mutation in the insulin receptor itself. Having this mutation leads to a decrease in binding of insulin and is not as sensitive as the surface form or the unmutated form. It's not a complete loss of function, so there's still some signaling, but it's basically decreased.
In humans, the inability of cells to respond to insulin, known as insulin resistance, is often a factor in metabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes. The mutation found in the cavefish is identical to one involved in a very severe type of diabetes in humans. However, the fish seem perfectly happy. They live to a similar age to the surface fish and even appear to show fewer signs of age-related decline. So, if this mutation is giving these fish an advantage, why is it not more widespread?
We think it comes at a price. And we already see this because we were able to mimic the same mutation in zebrafish. And while zebrafish, again, also they became bigger and faster compared to not having this mutation, they already had some other growth problems. So, for example, when we looked at their scales, they were smaller. So it somehow comes at a price. Therefore, we believe it may be important if it's all about making it to the next step where the food is very limited, like in a cave environment. But as a regular fish, if you don't really have to, you don't want to go that route. However, we believe because cavefish had then an additional several thousand years, maybe even 100,000 years of time to evolve with this mutation, they probably have found cofactors that help them to mitigate the otherwise negative problems that are associated with having this mutation.
In trying to understand how cavefish have adapted to survive in such an extreme environment, this single mutation is only a piece of the puzzle. The team showed that cavefish from another population still have high blood sugar after eating, but don't have this altered insulin receptor. They too seem perfectly healthy, and the reasons behind all this are still unclear. However, the dysregulation of blood glucose seems to give all these cavefish an advantage, and there is some interesting convergent evolution at play, with different populations having achieved it by different methods. Quite how the cavefish are able to survive with a phenotype that could be very detrimental in humans is yet to be understood. There's still a lot to learn, says Sylvia Rateau, who's written a News and Views article to accompany the paper.
It's a great paper, which asks more questions than it gives maybe responses, but it's a great paper that is unanticipated, unexpected. It doesn't make any sense, but still it's there, and it's that.
It is, of course, tempting to think that this new finding in K-fish will help us in our understanding of human disease, but Sylvie recommends caution.
The translation thing into human health, I think it's a really big step. And I think really it has to be considered that obviously this insulin signaling pathway is not working exactly the same way in fish and in mammals.
Nicholas, though, is a bit more optimistic and thinks that studying nature could give a fresh perspective on human diseases.
We always think of phenotypes of diseases as a terrible thing, but we often forget that many animals actually have evolved very similar phenotypes that we see in human patients. Like, for example, giraffes have high blood pressure as their normal situation because they need to get the blood up to the head. And also these cavefish have high blood sugar, hibernating animals are insulin resistant. And so there's a lot of variation out there in nature that I think should be more studied if we want to understand also human diseases. And I think this is something that is not done a lot. And so I hope that at least this study will be informative for sure.
That was Nicholas Rohner from the Stowers Institute for Medical Research in the US. You also heard from Sylvie Retaux from the Paris-Saclay Institute of Neuroscience in France. Both the paper and the News and Views article can be found at nature.com/nature.